So I think you see this very important political and historical moment when women are demanding political equality and the nation is not quite sure if it wants to give it to them.
That's Elaine Weiss, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Elaine Weiss is an award-winning journalist and writer whose work has appeared in The Atlantic, Harper's, The New York Times, and The Christian Science Monitor, as well as in reports and documentaries for National Public Radio and Voice of America. She joins us to talk about The Woman's Hour, The Great Fight to Win the Vote. The book is now available in paperback. Elaine, welcome to the program.
My pleasure to be with you, Dan.
Give us an overview of this book. What will readers find here?
Well, I think the surprise will be that this is not a stuffy history text. This is something of a political thriller where you have lots of twists and turns. And you have lots of complex characters, many of them women who are very strong and assertive. And you have a sense that you're not quite sure how it's going to turn out, even though you know how it's going to turn out. I think by the end, and one of the things that gratifies me is to hear my readers say, wow, I thought I knew how it happened, but I got nervous towards the end because it really is close. It almost does not pull through. And so I think you see this very important political and historical moment when women are demanding political equality and the nation is not quite sure if it wants to give it to them. Of course, it's reminiscent of more modern struggles. It's a civil rights struggle for equality for half of the citizens of the nation. And so it tells the story, the front story, the propulsive story, is what happens in Nashville, Tennessee in the summer of 1920, when the last state is needed to ratify the 19th Amendment, which is the Women's Suffrage Amendment. If Tennessee ratifies, women's suffrage will be the law of the land just in time for the 1920 presidential election. If it doesn't make it in Tennessee, the amendment actually might get delayed for nobody knows how long. It could be years. It could be longer than that because the nation is kind of on the cusp of becoming more conservative. And so the suffragists realize this is kind of do or die. If they don't get Tennessee, it's quite probable that the amendment will fail. And the anti-suffragists are excited by this. They just have to capture one more state, and then the dominoes will fall in their favor. And so you have all the forces, all the arguments that have been used for seven decades to promote or to oppose women having equal political rights comes down to these 6 weeks, frantic 6 weeks in Nashville, Tennessee. And there's all kinds of maneuvering and dirty tricks and bribery and fistfights and kidnappings because this is such a controversial and important decision. And so I tell the story of suffrage through this story of what happens in Tennessee.
One thing that had never occurred to me and you talk about are the antis, the women who actually opposed women getting the vote. What was their reasoning?
Yeah, isn't that fascinating? I was shocked, frankly, when I discovered them in my research. Like, who would think that women would oppose their own enfranchisement, would work against what we would consider their own best interests? But it's a fascinating situation because you have women who had a variety of reasons, some of them several reasons, for not supporting women getting the vote. And that included religious conservatives who felt that this women demanding equality went against God's plan. That's how they put it. They were supported by certain clergymen at the time, and that Adam was supposed to be dominant over Eve. That's the way the Bible said it should be. And to demand anything else was against the Bible. And so they used biblical teachings to oppose suffrage. Another group that opposed women getting the vote were cultural and social conservatives who really felt that this was going to undermine the morality of the nation, because women supposedly who lived on this higher moral plane would be sullied by even touching a ballot box. You know, that was going to put them into the real world. Women were supposed to stay at home. They were supposed to wear, you know, 10 pounds of petticoats and girdles, make it hard to move. They weren't supposed to speak in public. They certainly were not supposed to march in public, which the suffragists were doing. And so it was very much a sense that this is upending our social underpinnings. And it's going to be the threat of the American family, because women, mothers are going to abandon their husbands and children to go out and vote or to campaign for the vote. And there's all kinds of suffrage propaganda that shows a woman leaving her screaming children in the petrified arms of her husband and telling him to make supper. She's going out to vote. You know, this is what's going to happen to your household if women get the vote. You're going to be emasculated. Women are going to become more manly. They're ugly. They're unsexed. These were all the kinds of arguments that were used. And again, it was because it was going to affect private life, perhaps, not just public life. And this made it, as we would call it, an aspect of the culture wars. It has many more levels of meaning than just women being able to vote. It's what is her role in society? And that was the larger element of the debate. And for some women, this was frightening. They liked the status quo. They didn't mind having their husbands make their decisions for them, political and otherwise. So you have that group of women who are working against suffrage. And then you have women in the South who did not want the federal amendment, the 19th Amendment, to be ratified, because that would give all women the right to vote, including Black women. And they did not want Black women to vote because it would upset what they called the Southern way of life, which was segregation and political and social inequality. And they wanted to maintain that. And so they didn't want Washington telling them who should be able to vote. And of course, we're still dealing with that concept of the states deciding who should vote. So you have this fascinating amalgam of women with different reasons for joining the anti-suffragists, but it comes down to a really, in some ways, a different worldview. And we see that today. Women are not a monolithic voting bloc, but it was fascinating to me to see that these women would really organize, and they were highly organized, the anti-suffragists, to try to stop what they considered a step too far.
So hearing you describe all this that went on then, I see all these parallels today. Obviously, times have changed, but some things sadly have not. Let's look at the political scene right now. Sure, it's great that we've got a record number of women who've been elected for office and a record number of women serving in Congress, but when you look at the critique of those women, it's a total double standard. They're being critiqued in ways that men would not be critiqued.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I hear these, a little bell goes off in my head and says, wow, isn't that what was said about the suffragists? They were called aggressive, you know, unattractively aggressive. Women shouldn't be aggressive. Women shouldn't be assertive. They should smile more. They should be more feminine. They shouldn't be so demanding. They shouldn't speak loudly. They shouldn't be radical. All of those arguments, which we do hear today against women candidates, were thrown at the suffragists. And of course, what was also thrown at the suffragists were rotten eggs and rotten vegetables. So yeah, that kind of fear of strong women, I think, is something we're still grappling with. And so when I see this, the stereotype of what a woman should be is still the template which is being used to judge these women.
So what advice do you think today's candidates and today's women serving in political office can take from the pioneers, from the suffragists?
Well, the suffragists were amazing. They were fearless, and they had to be ingenious. And they knew what the social constructs were, and they subverted them as best they could. So I believe that today's women who are in the corporate world, who are in the political world of our government, should look at the suffragists and take strength, because the one aspect which is strongest that I think hit readers is the idea these women were fearless and they were persistent. They did not take no for an answer. They suffered many, many defeats, disappointments, betrayals, and they kept going. They picked themselves up and they went to the next campaign. And it wasn't just protesting. They did take to the streets. They picketed the White House, some of the suffragists. Of course, the movement splits because some suffragists want to be more radical, more assertive, more confrontational than others. And we see that split today, but it happened then too. And I think we have to recognize that that's perhaps a natural evolution of a reform movement, and not to be discouraged, that it does take time. Social and political change is hard and it takes a long time. And there will be defeats along the way, but you have to keep your eyes on the prize and that it can be done. And I think the idea of these suffragists who were really ordinary women, they were mothers, they were teachers, and they became activists. They saw something was terribly wrong in their society, and they became activists. And they had to change hearts and minds before they can change the law. And I think that's something that women in leadership should both learn from and learn the cautionary lessons that the suffragists can teach us too, because it's a kind of complicated and messy movement. But I think that if they learn that and learn the persistence of not just protesting, but also campaigning and lobbying and having a very coherent political strategy, that we can not be discouraged.
I'm talking with Elaine Weiss. The book is The Woman's Hour, The Great Fight to Win the Vote. It's available now in paperback. And I understand that the book is being used to create a television program. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, it's very exciting for me. Of course, any author's great pleasure is to hear from readers. And I hear from many readers who tell me what the book means to them and how important it is. And one of those very special readers who got in contact with me was Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. And she found the book very moving and a very important story for Americans to know. And I certainly agreed with that. And so we met and we agreed to partner on bringing the story to a wide audience. It's, you know, it's such a dramatic story. It's great fun in terms of reading. And we wanted to take the story and its underlying themes to the general public. So we are working with Steven Spielberg's Amblin production company, and we are working on translating that for the screen. And we're working with a screenwriter, and it's very exciting. And we want all generations, men and women, to know this story because it's such an important piece of our history, which most people, myself included, had no idea what it took to win the vote for half of the citizens of the nation. You know, the kind of persistence, perseverance, the drama, the toll that it took on women. They gave their lives for this. And I think we need to understand that when people say, oh, my vote doesn't count. You know, read this book and you won't think that anymore.
Elaine, thank you very much for talking with me today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Elaine Weiss's book is The Woman's Hour, The Great Fight to Win the Vote. It's now available in paperback. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. On Facebook, you'll find us at KPR Conversations. That's all one word. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. And you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.